It's All About Food with Karen Hartglass, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
I'm Karen Hartglass. Thank you for joining me today on It's All About Food. Happy June 1st, 2011. This is such a great time of year for food, especially in New York. It's spring and the weather's been pretty great and we can go outside and go to farmers markets. There's so many more locally grown fresh foods to take advantage of. If you've got a garden, things are really starting to pop up. I know on my terrace I've got parsley and basil growing and a bunch of chives that are coming up from last year. I didn't even have to replant them and it's really exciting. It's great to have all that fresh stuff around. I get very excited about food. And today I've got such a special wonderful guest, someone that I just met and I had to have him on because what he's doing is so important and so inspiring. I am going to be talking with Neil Schotter, who is the Director of Food Services at the New Hampton School in New Hampshire. He uses only the freshest and finest ingredients in his food. This is not your typical high school cafeteria fare. Neil prides himself in serving only the best to his students and faculty. Fair trade, organic fruits and vegetables, gluten-free and vegan menu options, and that's just for breakfast. Neil is a plant-based whole foods eater who was greatly influenced by Dr. T. Colin Campbell, Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, as well as being inspired by Will Tuttle, who happens to be a guest on our show next week, and Will Tuttle's book, The World Peace Diet. Neil came to New Hampton School in the fall of 1995. He was attracted by the wording in the ad that posted the job for food service director. The ad read, "We are looking for someone to join our New Hampton School family to be responsible for feeding the school community." It was this invitation to join the family of staff and faculty and be an active part in the New Hampton school community that first brought Neil there and is the reality of being a part of this community that keeps him there. As a lover of healthy food, Neil appreciates the support he has for building a food service program of which he is proud to be a part. As a dedicated, lifelong learner, Neil very much enjoys his relationships with the faculty, students, and staff. He is happy that his concerns for and dedication to justice and excellence are valued here. He feels that he is allowed to thrive and that he is appreciated. He is very proud to work along with the food service staff in an excellent dining program. Neil says, "It is great to ride to work with my wife, Cheryl, on our tandem bicycle. I am so glad that she chose to be a baker over a career in social work." That's a mouthful. Neil, welcome to It's All About Food.
Well, thank you, Karen.
I really love what you're doing. I titled this show Feeding the School Community. And community is so important, nourishing whatever community we're involved with, and you're definitely at a very special community there at the New Hampton School. But I really wanted to, start at the beginning, and I want to know more about who you are, how you got interested in food and healthy food. So why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, starting as a child, I love to eat.
Well, good for you. I know a lot of kids are picky eaters.
Yeah, well, I was considered, a human garbage disposal. I mean, basically.
I call myself a goat sometimes.
Yeah, if it were on the plate and my family hadn't touched it yet, I'd ask if they wanted it. And also, I was driven. If my mother said it was good for you, I would tend to eat it, and probably in my life, I've left food on my plate 5 times total. And that's because I was too sick to really eat. And that over the years, what I've considered to be healthy food has changed. And I've changed with my learning of what's important to put in our bodies, and I've also tried to introduce to the schools that I work at these changes and encourage folks to try them.
How did you get introduced to healthy food? How did you learn about it? Because certainly when we're growing up, our parents want us to eat well, and they may think what they're serving us is healthy, although it may not be.
Yeah, well, as I told you, I became a vegetarian when I was a sophomore in college, and inspired by visiting an uncle of mine who was a professor at New College in Sarasota, Florida. I hitched down there on spring break, and I was starving without much money, and I met him at a restaurant after the hours, after the serving hours were closed, and I just looked around and saw all the waste on the plate, and just hit me viscerally. And at that point, I decided to give up, red meat. And at that point, I ate chicken and I ate fish, and then slowly I weaned myself off chicken and fish, and within 3 months I was a vegetarian.
Mm.
And this was 1972. And
ahead of your time.
There weren't many around, so I also began to cook because I wanted to eat. And I love people, so I just started cooking for my friends and inviting them over for dinner. And I, that's my beginnings.
Wow. It's interesting that it was seeing waste that opened your mind to other options. There's certainly so much waste in the United States. I've read some really incredible statistics about the food that we produce in this country and how much of it actually goes to waste, and it goes to waste in so many different ways.
Right. It could be as much as 40% or more. It's, that may be a small percentage. That concerns me. I mean, world hunger concerns me. People suffering concerns me, and to waste food is just terrible.
Yeah, and I live in New York City, and on the streets every evening, after around 10 o'clock, around when the garbage pickup comes up, that's when the food comes out. And there's a community of dumpster divers that grab a lot of food that's thrown away, and some of it isn't appealing, but many of it is packaged and unused.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Okay, so did you have any help along the way other than deciding that you weren't going to eat meat and then later other animal products?
Well, the summer of 72, I was a counselor at a camp in North Carolina, a camp that for the first couple of weeks of the summer hosted both inner city kids from Atlanta, Georgia, and progressive children, mostly Jewish and Unitarian, more affluent kids. And I met a man at the camp who was a macrobiotic, and I was greatly influenced by him. So
mm-hmm.
That summer I became macrobiotic. Along the way I've met people who have greatly influenced me. And Frances Marlatt Pei, her books, I love the fact her 10th year.
Yeah, that came out in the 70s.
Right, it came out in the 70s. I read that. And then, 10 years later, she wrote a revised edition where she said, really, it's not about combining proteins. Because, I don't believe in proteins. I believe in amino acids. And I think, Americans are hooked, paranoid about protein as much as they're paranoid about not having enough money.
I'm really glad you brought up Frances Marlatt Pei's book and the revision because, her book was groundbreaking, and it's amazing how many people, even people that aren't interested in healthy food, got this couple of messages from her. One is they got the message that animal food, there's a connection between people starving and growing animals for food because we waste so much plant food feeding animals.
Right.
It's really inefficient. But the other message that really came out, and a lot of nutritionists got it, was this food combining thing, this concept that beans go with rice and complete the protein that we need. And then she came out, maybe 10 years later with a revision and said she didn't quite get it right the first time. And
or
most
she
people have
be
overlooked
so nervous
that.
About it, yeah.
Most people still are stuck
right.
on this food combining thing, so I'm really glad you brought that up. So here's the thing. The body is brilliant.
Right.
Nature is brilliant. And, yeah, there are a few amino acids, 8, sometimes I hear 9 of them, that our bodies cannot make ourselves. And in order to build protein and all these things that are essential in our bodies, we need to eat them. But we don't need to get them all at the same time.
No.
The body's got storage, and we eat what we eat as long as we get these things periodically within a few days. We're fine.
Right. And if you're eating a variety of foods, whole foods, I don't like to call myself a vegan because I'm really not. It's the whole foods, plant-based, because you can be a sugar. You can be a vegan and just eat cookies.
Right.
You know, but if you're whole foods, plant-based, I mean, that says it all.
Right. Yeah, you could be eating, like a lot of kids in school, potato chips and french fries
right.
and drinking Coke.
Right.
That's vegan and you're in trouble. Yeah, and, oh, I just wanted to say one more thing about, oh, plant foods. The other thing is people talk about complete protein and that animal foods offer complete protein, having all of these 8 or 9 amino acids, but all plant foods are complete. They all have all of the essential amino acids we need, just in different proportions.
Right.
Some plant foods may have more of one than another, but they're all there.
And even if we're eating meat, our body digests it and takes the protein that it or the the amino acids that it needs. And but the way I look at meat is, it's a suitcase full of other things, you know. And there's so much you don't want in that suitcase carrying the amino acids and.
Oh, I like that idea. I think I'm going to make a cartoon of it. A suitcase that you can leave at the airport.
Right.
Cholesterol and saturated fat and no fiber and a whole bunch of pain and suffering.
Right. You know, and even though I am plant-based whole foods, you know, the majority of the people at New Hampton School are not,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so it's, but it is important for me to source, you know, the best food that I can possibly source. So I try to get all of my, you know, my animal-based products from places where the animals are not fed antibiotics or growth hormones, that they never see a confined feeding operation. You know, I really, want to get, even though I think eating meat is not sustainable, at least not in the
mm-hmm.
quantities that we're eating it, I do want to put the school's money where our mouth is, you know, literally and figuratively, because all schools are talking about the importance of sustainability. And food is the biggest contributor to climate change and environmental degradation that a person engages in.
Absolutely. Well, I think, too, when you're using whole fresh foods, fruits and vegetables, they're going to taste better, they're going to look better, and part of the problem in the United States, especially, is we eat too many animal foods and too much junk food, and when the food is tempting and delicious and prepared well, like you do at the school, the students are going to eat more of them. They're going to eat more fruits and vegetables, even if they are eating some of the animal foods as well.
Yes.
And that's what's important.
Right. And this year, toward the end of the year after the earthquake in Japan, we instituted a Meatless Monday just so we could, you know, basically what I did is the food line was all vegetarian and lacto-ovo-vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And the deli bar and salad bar had no tuna fish and no deli meats on it. And the money that we saved for those meals, we basically quantified to the best of our ability, and then we wrote a check to, I believe it was the Red Cross, Japanese Red Cross, at the end of the year. And, you know, and that offered the kids an opportunity to eat things they wouldn't ordinarily eat. We'd hear things. One boy went through the line and says, you know, none of this looks good to me, so I'll try everything to see if it is. You know, and I loved it. And other young women who would have chosen the meat option, you know, chose the vegetarian option, and came to me later and said, "I loved it. It was wonderful." So it just whatever avenue we can incorporate to get people to try new foods and to eat low on the food chain. You know,
okay, this is really exciting, and I wasn't aware that you did this. So You instituted Meatless Mondays, and the administration was okay with that.
Well, they actually wanted to do something, and so we worked together. You know, they were trying to work with me. How can we save money in food service? You know, to do this, and so we came up with the Meatless Mondays. And you know, of course, Meatless Mondays. I guess it grew out of what's the university?
Johns Hopkins,
right? And it's actually an environmental statement. And I'm hoping that next year we can continue to do Meatless Mondays.
Well, it's such a beautiful story because, okay, you're looking to save money, and I really believe that you can serve up healthy, locally grown, organic food and make it economical. And at the same time, you're introducing all of these healthy foods to kids who wouldn't normally eat them.
Right.
And opening a whole new world for them. And plus, you got to write a check to help somebody else.
Right, right.
I'm in awe. I'm speechless.
But I can't take credit for that. It was combined.
Of course you can take credit for it.
Yeah.
If they didn't have you there,
yeah.
This really wouldn't be happening.
You know, and the beauty of the meals, you know, for example, when we do grilled cheese sandwiches, we'll do grilled cheese, you know, plain white bread and plain American cheese, and we'll do organic bread with cheddar cheese from Cabot's Farm in Vermont, and we'll do ham and cheese and grilled organic, you know, ham and cheese with organic bread. And so we just, on Meatless Mondays, we would have only the cheese out there without the ham. And also, like, when we do Mexican meals, we always provide vegetarian options. You know, if we do taco salads, we do the vegetarian bean taco salad, you know, along with the meat. And on a normal day, we would do, you know, we'd feed 300 the meat and 100 the vegetarian. So on Meatless Monday, we just did all vegetarian. And
have any of the people complained about this?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, students love to complain.
I love my meat.
Oh, exactly. And when I would ask a student, you know, what do you think of Meatless Mondays? He goes, I go to Subway because I need my protein. I'm an athlete.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then, you know, but it's a wonderful teachable moment.
Right. Okay. So let's back up a little bit. You learned how to prepare food on your own. Did you train at all in food preparation?
Did not. It was, you know, I just taught myself.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes.
Well,
And I fell into a food service job. You know, I had moved from Georgia to New Hampshire, and I was looking for work, and, you know, no place would hire me, it seemed, except the school that my sister worked at. And there was an opening in the kitchen. There was a really cool guy who was leaving for California, and when he saw me, he thought, hey, this guy could be my replacement. So, you know, I became a weekend cook, weekend pot washer, and a weekend sleepover staff in some of the dorms. And I came to work on Friday afternoon and left Monday morning.
Wow.
In my first year, you know, I was a strict vegetarian, and each cook could make their own menu. So that whole year, I'm a strong personality to begin with, so I'm not necessarily easy to deal with. I'm getting better as I age. But the first year I did only vegetarian meals, sort of macrobiotic style meals, a lot of beans and rice. And I think my coworkers felt that, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. And so they were smart and they did a survey after my first year, just a general survey on the food. And I got blasted. People were really upset. You know, I was laying my trip on them, and, you know, they didn't want to come into the dining hall. First of all, they were working weekends. That was bad enough. But then to have to eat vegetarian food. you know, so basically what I did is I took that feedback to heart, and I started cooking the food that they liked to eat, but I cooked it in a way that would minimize the damage.
Right.
You know, it's like all my ground beef, I would brown then rinse to remove as much of the saturated fats as possible. You know, just things of that nature. And we started, you know, when I came to the kitchen, there were a lot of mixes, baking mixes, and, you know, I just said, let's throw these away, and we started cooking from scratch and started cooking with, you know, organic flours and, you know, putting whole wheat flours in the cookies and baking homemade bread and just stuff like that.
Again, I tell you I'm in awe because it just takes one person with commitment, one person who cares who takes their job seriously to do the right thing. You know,
right.
Frankly, I don't know how people who work in food service today do what they're doing, where they just take one box and open it up and just add water and whatever.
Even the fanciest restaurants, they're more interested in the taste. You know, and for me, I want my food to taste good, but nutrition, I've always been nutrition driven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often say, you know, I don't want people to dig their grave with their spoon, but I do say too that if you dine at New Hampton School, you have an option. You can thrive, or you can dig your grave with your spoon. We offer you the choice. You know, but I do take it. You know, I feel like I'm a nurturer, and it's just so important to treat the folks that I have a captive audience, and the kids really can't go anywhere else most of the time. And so, you know, I want to offer. I don't want to kill them.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, too, that you bring up, because New Hampton School is a boarding school, and most of the students live on campus, and their families are located at distances
right.
away. And there are some graduates I saw last week who were from Korea and China, but most of the children are from the United States, but they're living on campus away from their family, and so the cafeteria is where they get their food.
Right.
Do you think kids are likely to try more food and eat differently when they're away from their parents?
You know, that's a tough one to answer. I really don't know. I think eating habits are so ingrained that, you know, for example, when I was in college, I was a gymnast, and I was invited over to have dinner with another gymnast at our coach's house, and we were eating at this casserole. And the guy that I was with just loved it. He was just wolfing it down, and he goes, "What is this? This is great." And the wife of the coach said, "Oh, it's broccoli casserole." And he quit eating. He said, "I don't like broccoli."
Oh gosh!
And literally quit eating. You know, and that's how people tend to be with food. You know,
right.
It's just like, you know, I've made up my mind. You know, I don't like it, and I'm not going to try it. And so, changing people's dietary habits is so important. I mean, the healthcare bill, it should be a food bill. It should be the healthcare. They should quit subsidize. We should quit subsidizing agribusiness and put that money in healthcare.
Gosh, absolutely. Put that money in
preventative.
Okay,
education.
If I was in charge, there's so much money that goes into food subsidies. Food money that subsidizes the cattle industry.
Right.
Giving our land to grazing of cattle at really ridiculous prices.
Right.
And some people call it welfare, where the farmers are given this land to use for next to nothing, and they can damage it all they want, and they don't even have to repair it.
Right.
And this is public lands. And then there's all kinds of food subsidies that go into growing the plant foods that feed animals.
Right, you know, and the food, as compromised as the food pyramid is, you know, which, you know, the USDA food pyramid, it is compromised, but if you do a pyramid of the agricultural subsidies, it's the exact, they subsidize what they the most, what they suggest you eat the least of.
Well, I guess we know there's a conflict of interest with the USDA because on one hand they're supposed to be promoting what's healthy, and on the other hand, they have a business to run.
Right, and they want to support agriculture as it exists.
Yeah, but if we didn't, let's just fantasize for a moment, and if we didn't subsidize all of the wrong things, and we had this budget where we could subsidize good things,
right.
God, could you imagine we would have more organic farming, and we could actually provide healthier foods to our school system.
Right. And it's slow. I mean, it's happening slowly. Yeah, I mean, all farms, I think, should be small, and they all should be true family farms. You know, I don't know. Have you seen the Meatrix?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, that just says it so well. Yeah, but clearly, if we promoted small family farms and we encourage young people, and there is a huge renaissance of young people who are highly educated wanting to become organic farmers. I love it.
Yeah, I do too. Well, you must get a feeling yourself in the job that you're in of great satisfaction. And there are so many jobs today where people just go do their job, come home, and have no meaning in life. They may be getting a decent paycheck, but they're not doing anything that fills their soul. And here you are doing what you believe in and doing such a wonderful thing for all the students at your school.
Well, thank you, but it's, you know, it's
what?
You make it sound really nice.
It is. You know. Well, you know, that, you know, here's the thing. We give a lot of credit to celebrities, people that happen to be famous for one reason or another, very oftentimes not because they've done anything really amazing, just because they happen to be in the movies or we like the way they look. And whatever they say, we're all about listening to them and treating them like gods.
Mm-hmm.
People in the health movement, we're trying to find the celebrities that support our mission so that we can poster their faces and get them to attend our events so
right.
that people will be interested. But then there are all these people out there that are doing incredible things, and they're not getting the press. And you're one of them.
Well,
you are a model. You know, there's... we talked about this, but Jamie Oliver, he's from Australia,
right?
And he's got this reality show, Food Revolution, and he goes into different schools and tries to get them to at least make healthier foods from scratch. He's not about pushing meat-free foods. But at least he's getting away from the powders and the just-add water and using locally grown fresh foods. Okay, great. And he's a famous chef, and he's getting a lot of press. But you're doing it. He should be talking to you. You're doing it.
Well, he'd be welcome to come today.
Jamie Oliver, check out Neil Schotter. Am I pronouncing your name right?
Yeah, you are, Schotter.
Schotter. Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, Neil, we have a bit more to talk about, but we have to take a little break.
Okay.
So we'll be right back. Don't
go
away.
Okay.
Okay.
Radio Network. This is the number one radio station for progressive independent thinkers.
Is someone driving you crazy? Do you have a cheating boyfriend or girlfriend? An ex you can't let go of? An obnoxious boss? Adult kids who won't listen? I'm Hollis Polk, and I fix relationship problems. Your life, your relationship with Hollis Polk offers you practical solutions for all sorts of people problems. Listen and call in Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, or download the podcast at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
Your favorite show on Progressive Radio Network? Go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com anytime, day or night, for all of our great shows. Don't be left out and miss important shows and information. Visit ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com and be in the loop.
To Bhavani, and I'd like to welcome you every Wednesday on the Progressive Radio Network to join me for my show called I Eat Green, where every Wednesday we will talk about eating healthy and eating sustainably for our planet. So join me every Wednesday from 5 to 6.
Hello, I'm Mike Adams, the editor-in-chief and key writer of naturalnews.com and co-founder of the nonprofit site consumerwellness.org. I'll be starting a special segment on the Progressive Radio Network called The Health Ranger with Mike Adams. I'll be interviewing everyone from Dr. Jane Goodall to Suzanne Summers. Find out the latest in natural healing news and easy ways to live a healthier and more holistic lifestyle. So tune in on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern every week on the Progressive Radio Network to hear The Health Ranger with Mike Adams.
You're listening to the number one internet radio station for progressive minds, the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food, and I'm here with my guest, Neil Shadar, who is the Director of Food Services at the New Hampton School, and he is responsible for feeding the school community, and he's doing such an outstanding job. So, Neil, are you still with us?
Yeah, I am.
Thank you. Very good. Are you familiar with the farm down in Tennessee?
Oh, absolutely.
Have you ever been there?
I haven't.
I haven't either.
I live in Athens, Georgia, so very familiar with Stephen Gaskin and the caravan and how the farm was created. And I just haven't gone, but we have this cookbook. But I want to say I have to mention my wife. My wife and I have worked together our entire relationship. And she's the baker at New Hampton School. And she's the sanity, she's the sanity behind me. I probably would have burned out a long time ago, and she mitigates the fire in my eyes,
What's her name?
Cheryl Anderson.
Cheryl, thank you, Cheryl. Was she there when you first started? Or?
Oh, absolutely. When I first started in food service, she was a teacher who, at the school that I got my job at, who went from teaching to the kitchen because a good friend of hers was running the kitchen. He was a Yale Culinary Arts dropout, but a fabulous cook. And he said, "I'll train you if you'll be my assistant."
Wow.
And so, my sister too, who was a teacher, became a cook. And so we all cooked together with another friend, at this school. I had the passion to build the program, but my wife has just been there the entire time that I've been doing this, and she's a fabulous, fabulous baker, and she's as great of a baker as she is, she's more of a wise woman than even her baking skills, And so, so we've worked together, our entire career, And the thing that's unique about me and this school where I'm working at, usually it's the food service who is the last person to get on board. Usually there's a handful of students and a handful of teachers who really care about the environment and care about the quality of food, and then they badger and badger the food service to change.
Yeah.
But here it's driven by the director. I'm the one with the vision, and I'm the one who really drives the program, and my staff implement it. And so I think if any school, if there's any school administrator out there, especially a private school where you do have more resources, you have to just find someone who has the skill, the management skills and the food skills with a strong passion for good eats, and the program will grow.
Yeah, I remember when I was in college, I went to Bucknell, and the director of food services at that time was into healthy whole foods, and he offered a vegetarian meal plan. And I've visited Bucknell since then. He's not there anymore, and that went away.
Right.
It's really unfortunate, because when I was there, I had wanted to be a vegetarian. I'd gotten the idea in high school, and this was a long time ago. And I didn't get really any support from anywhere. Nobody knew what to do. And
right.
So when I ended up in this environment where there was food ready for me, It just made it so much easier. It's all about access.
Oh, it is. It is. You know, and again, as I mentioned to you when we spoke on Friday, my greatest joy is cooking for the few who really, really care about high quality, you know, vegetarian food. You know, but I cook, but everyone else, I want to give them the best of what they want to eat as well. But it's the few who really know what by my standards what what good food is.
Well, I want to believe that the students that weren't interested in plant foods have gotten an opportunity to taste this food. Some of them 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, however long they're at the school. I know that when they leave, even if they didn't realize it, it's going to make a difference in their life.
Yeah.
It has to. Their taste buds.
And often students will come back after spending some time at college and will come to see us and say, you know, we did not realize how good we had it here.
There you go.
And other students who have entered the health field, you know, have come back to me and just thanked me for what we're doing here because they're learning about the importance of it in their career.
Do you offer any training classes or any opportunity for students to learn how to prepare healthy food?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there are no walls, there are no doors into the kitchen from the dining hall. We are a totally accessible kitchen. One of our chefs joke and say, at least the kids will learn to cook an omelet when they graduate. So if a student has an interest and wants to cook, we will let them. And this one staff member loves the Asian students, and so you know she encourages them to come in and cook with her and to teach her, you know, that their dining habits, and she'll do extra. She'll actually volunteer her time to do cooking clubs with these kids, and so we're totally accessible to the students and the faculty for that matter.
Well. You know, I know New Hampton School is a special school. It's a small school. It's a private school. It certainly costs quite a bit to go there. So there's a lot of opportunity there to do things right. And I was there just a few days, and I saw that the result. The students were really lovely, delightful, well-behaved, and sentimental, too. There was an opportunity for them to embrace their emotions, and it was just all good. It doesn't have to be, either, just because you have financial support, because there are other places that aren't doing as good a job. But it's a model, and I think even for schools that aren't private schools, public schools should learn from this. There's a lot to learn from it.
Clearly.
Small schools that are nourishing the students in so many ways. You know, you mentioned the food pyramid, and I don't know if you're aware, but we're all anxious about tomorrow because the USDA will be launching something new tomorrow, a replacement of the food pyramid.
That should be interesting.
Have you heard about it?
I haven't.
The food pyramid's been around for about 20 years already, which is hard to believe because I remember when it replaced the dreadful four food groups. And now we're getting something new, and speculation is that it will be a round dinner plate with different sections representing how much food people should consume in a meal. It should be interesting. I'm sure I'll be disappointed with it no matter what they come up with. definitely should be interesting, and it comes out tomorrow. As I said, people think it's going to be a round dinner plate, and I think that's a good thing. One of the things about eating a plant-based diet is that people that don't or aren't used to eating that way are always looking for the centerpiece or the main meal or the main entree, the thing that gets the top billing, that piece of meat, that piece of chicken. And oftentimes when we eat plant foods, it's a wide variety of different lovely things, and nothing gets top billing.
Right. You just have a beautiful plate.
Just a beautiful plate.
Full of real foods, lots of colors. Yeah, it's awesome.
And so a round dinner plate may actually help in that kind of point of view, that one thing isn't going to get more attention than the other.
Right.
Who knows? Stay tuned till tomorrow. So it's the summertime. Do you have a garden?
I do.
Does the school have a garden?
The science class did a small garden, but the hard thing about doing a garden here is that the growing season in New Hampshire is so short, and it's summertime, and the students are away.
Right.
Right. But we've already, at our house, we've already been eating lettuce and microgreens, you know, from our garden. You know, we live in a combined household with my daughter and her husband and two children, as well as my wife's youngest brother, his wife, and two children when they're around because they're college-aged kids. And my son-in-law is an avid gardener. And so...
Do you cook for them, too?
Yes. We cook together, you know. My wife and I and my daughter and son-in-law do most of the cooking. But, yes, we have family meals. The meal is very important, that time together.
I really agree with that. Yeah. And it's something that so many people have gotten away from, unfortunately. There's nothing like being around the table with your family every day.
And we've always done this. You know,
That's beautiful.
It was a natural thing to do.
Does everyone in the family like you and your wife?
No. We're all vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, who just gave birth at home about a month ago,
congratulations,
was eating eggs and dairy during her pregnancy. But she is very much influenced and leans toward a plant-based whole foods diet.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
That's really nice. So what are you growing in your garden? You just said lettuce, microgreens.
Well, right. We've already harvested lettuce and microgreens, and we planted we have kale that's growing. We put in the cabbage family on Sunday, and tomatoes. Yeah, we have peas growing. But it's, New Hampshire, we're probably a month later than you are.
Mm-hmm. What about cooking outdoors? Do you do barbecues?
Well, we do have. We have a wood-fired oven that my son-in-law built us. Beautiful.
Nice. Yeah.
So we do. We bake a lot of artisan bread out there. We do flatbread pizzas. And he did build a barbecue on the side, a stone barbecue that we, And since we've given up, a wild-caught salmon, we barbecue less, but, we do barbecue at times. We'll do tofu skewers and veggie burgers.
There's a lot of great fruits and vegetables that go great on a barbecue.
You're right. You're right.
I don't do it very often, but some fruits, like fruit kebabs with a nice marinade, just incredible when they're barbecued.
Right, yeah. And seitan and tempeh is also good. Yeah.
What are the favorite dishes at your school? I'm thinking about typical cafeteria schools in most schools today, which is pizza, 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 pizza.
Well, to be absolutely truthful with you, I do a traditional chicken patty once every 2 weeks, and the kids just go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And with the chicken patties, we do vegan, with parentheses Chick-fil-A's, and we do beautiful handmade vegetable garden melts, we call them, or we do portobello mushroom wraps. But the kids go nuts over chicken patties. So that's a concession for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they like. But I also surround it with really nice food.
Right.
And also we do serve French fries, but I make sure my French fries do not have any partially hydrated oil coatings. And the only fry oil we use is high oleic canola oil. We don't use any trans fats in our baking. We use either butter for the non-vegan.
Do the parents know that you do this?
Some parents do. The ones who know good food do.
Yeah.
For example, there was a parent at graduation who asked, because our coffee has a label, Fair Trade.
Right.
Shade grown, Fair Trade organic. And so someone asked, where's the real coffee?
Oh, no.
This is an adult. And so my you know, one of the chefs had to explain to this person that Israel coffee is just grown this way because, you know, we're paying the farmers a fair price and we're not killing them with pesticides and insecticides and herbicides. So, you know, there's a huge
range. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Yeah, you know, sometimes there are so many things I take for granted now I'm assuming people know about. But let's just talk about fair trade for a minute. The most popular fair trade product is coffee, and there are more products that are being added to the fair trade list. But coffee, like so many other products that we buy, people try and make it as cheaply and easily and profitably as they can, and, right. and often that means compromise.
Right.
And so many coffee plantations today are not grown as coffee plants are naturally grown in the shade.
Right.
And they're grown in the sun, and they need pesticides and herbicides and all kinds of petrochemical fertilizers. And then the growers that typically raise the plants in developed worlds are practically like slaves. They barely make a living, and they can't send their kids to school. And this is all for a luxury commodity product
that
we consume.
Yeah.
And so fair trade comes along, which is brilliant, and that in many cases eliminates a lot of costs and middlemen, goes directly to small farmers, mostly in third world countries, and makes sure that those people growing that coffee are paid a living wage.
A living wage, and we shouldn't grow so much coffee where they can't sustain themselves on their own local agriculture.
Yeah.
You know, we really need to think about what are our values, and as Michael Pollan says, every time we lift our fork, every time we go to the store, we're voting for something. You know, so we do have so much power.
That's right. You've said it.
Yeah.
You know, if everyone voted with their dollar, made a difference in the supermarket
right.
with what they believed in, we'd see something very different.
Right. You know, and for me, you know, I tend to preach, and I tend to be somewhat radical. And once, you know, and with my staff every day when I give them their menus and how much of each thing to cook, I'll put quotes up on their menu boards, on their little working sheets. And one quote I put up is, if it came between truth and compassion, I chose compassion. You know,
mm-hmm.
and my wife, you know, Cheryl, you know, I mean, she's the one who chooses compassion, where I tend to choose truth. So, you know, like if someone in our household goes to the store and brings back, they don't take our own bags, they use the plastic store bags.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to say, what was your major in college? You know, I want to rub it in their face. Then Cheryl will come up to me and say, you know, to quote that quote to me.
Right. Compassion. It's important.
Yeah.
You know, what you're doing is great, but it's also important to be really peaceful about everything that
right.
we do. And occasionally, all of us are going to step out of what we believe in and do something because lots of reasons.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance.
And it's a balance. What about gluten-free? I know you offer gluten-free options. Is that a popular thing at your school? Because more and more people, I think 6% of the population
right.
now are glucose intolerant.
Right. Again, it's very important for me to be able to nourish anyone in our population who has a food issue or concern. So we do. We have a young boy who has celiac disease, and so we definitely make sure he has what he wants. But there are people who see gluten-free and won't eat it. So we do bake gluten-free desserts, and we bake vegan desserts, but there are people who see the word vegan and just are gluten-free and just sort of...
Yeah.
But it's so easy. You know, we can use rice. If we're making, you know, like shepherd's pie, we can use rice flour to thicken the pie, you know, and not use, you know, a gluten-based flour. And we can do the entire meal can be gluten-free.
You know, it's such a bizarre, unfortunate thing where, just like that story you told earlier on about the guy who was enjoying the broccoli casserole until he found out what was in it, there are many people like this. I know someone who always says, if it's healthy, I don't want to eat it.
Right.
And these labels are... It's just funny how people turn away from it, but it's changing because these labels are becoming hip.
You know, and it's flippant. You know, my son-in-law's father died of cancer, and, you know, he didn't quit smoking until he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he quit on a dime, you know, and no one, you know, and when I talk to the students, it's hard to, for them to relate to health, long-term, you know, health, and I'll say to them, how many old people do you know that are full of vitality? You know, how many old people, your grandparents, how many of your grandparents don't have huge medical issues that aren't taking dozens of pills? You know, do you know many of these people who aren't? And they'll say, no. You know, it's just, it's to me, it's insurance. This is the insurance that I really...
Yeah, well, you look great.
Well, thank you.
I just had something in my mind, and I just forgot it. Oh, well.
All right.
Do you do exercise much?
I do. You know, my wife and I, in the good weather, we ride our bicycle, our tandem to work. We cross-country ski in the winter, and now I'm getting up at 4:30 in the morning and doing a combination of the Dr. Oz core exercises and some yoga and a little bit of meditation, and that feels really good.
You sound like you have a pretty charmed life.
Well, I'm still alive, and so I still suffer. I'm sort of a little bit of a Buddhist, you know, and just being aware of all the suffering in the world definitely tempers my happiness, but I do have a lot of joy. You know, I'm very family-oriented and have a wonderful family.
We just have a few minutes left, but you mentioned Francis Moore LePay. We talked briefly about Will Tuttle, I think. Who were some of the other people?
John Robbins, you know, again, the China study, and Dr. Esselstyn, you know, just the, I just purchased the Mad Rancher, you know, this guy who was, is a rancher out west who was a vegan and, you know, No More Bull, another book that he's written.
I think
if you Google, you know, The Mad Rancher.
Oh, The Mad Rancher. Okay. I know about The Mad Cowboy, but...
Maybe it's The Mad Cowboy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Howard
yeah.
Lyman.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I'm just always open to reading new books and finding birds of a feather. And also, I'm always open to doing what's best for me. And so, you know, Dr. Esselstyn's book was the one. I just read it about 4 months ago. And
Preventing Heart Disease?
Yes. And it was so powerful.
Are you aware of some of the press that Dr. Esselstyn and Dr. Campbell have been getting recently?
Oh, yes, with Forks Over Knives.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And they also were instrumental in getting President Bill Clinton becoming
a vegan.
Yes. He says he eats primarily vegan and
very rarely
some fish, but he looks fabulous.
Oh, it's wonderful. It really is. And you know, they'll have new Saturday Night Live skits on Bill.
What?
You know, they used to do Saturday Night Live skits on Bill Clinton going to McDonald's and walking around, you know, hobnobbing and picking up people's hamburgers and taking a bite out of it.
Yeah, what are they doing now?
Oh, I don't know. It could be pretty creative.
They should.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to have that. We need to have our time on Saturday Night Live.
things are changing, you know, and I'm just hoping that there is some a dawn after all this darkness. But I do think there is hope. There is definite hope.
Okay, well, Neil, this has been terrific.
Well, thank you, Karen.
You really are a superstar in my book.
Well, thank you. You're sweet in mine.
And I'm so glad I got to meet you.
And I'm glad I got to meet you as well. You know, and hopefully we'll run into each other again.
I think we will, somewhere along the food continuum.
Yes.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to Neil Sharder, who is the Director of Food Services at the New Hampton School. Thank you so much, Neil.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great night.
You too. I just wanted to mention in the last minute that I am starting a new nonprofit organization. I'm really very excited about it. It's called Responsible Eating and Living, and we are going to officially launch this weekend, but if you want to take a peek, the website is responsibleeatingandliving.com. And there will be videos and recipes, and it's going to be a fun place to be, so I hope you'll join me there. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Next week, we'll be having Will Tuttle, who's the author of The World Peace Diet, And he'll have a lot of wonderful, inspiring information for us, I'm sure. Thanks for listening.